You know, this is the last Sunday of 2017. You're going to kiss it goodbye today. A new year, next year. Have you made any resolutions for next year? Can't tell whether you have or not. Well, if nothing else, I want you to think about that, because that's what my message is about this morning, resolutions for the new year. When you think about it, New Year's resolutions basically fall into three categories. They deal with these three things. First, things that make you look better or live longer. That's one of the resolutions, usually falls in that category. The second is, it is the resolution for things to make you have more things, more stuff, prosperity. Third thing is things that will help us get along with others so that we can be at harmony with one another. So we can call these three categories longevity, prosperity, and peace. I received a call sometime back from someone who knew that I was a pastor, and they asked if I could help them. They were going through some very difficult times, and they wanted to talk to me about life. They needed some answers to some tough questions about life. We all have questions about life and about why things are the way they are and how things might be different. So that's not unusual for us to be considering questions about life for us. Did you know that you could find an answer in God's Word for any question or any situation of life that you might have, if you would just go to God's Word and look for it? Now, you might think that, or you might know that, but you may not go to God's Word every day. Part of the reason I had to insert in the bulletin for us to be reading every day, because it is there that we get the answers for the questions we have about life. Now, if it's true that you could go to God's Word and you could get answers to any question that you might have about life, if you could find those in God's Word, then that's where we need to be. Each day is in God's Word. Now, if we want resolutions for the next year, you don't find that word or that term used in the Bible for questions that we have about life. So they're not called New Year's resolutions. They're called principles in the Bible. They're teachings on the precepts and principles of God's Word in order for us to live by, so that we can live our lives in longevity and prosperity and in peace. Now, the book of Proverbs in chapter 3, that's going to be our text this morning for the resolutions that I want us to make for this coming year in 2018. I want us to use chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs, and it says in the first two verses, it says this: my son, and you could say, you could interpret that to also be daughter, my son, my daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. You see, it's the verses that follow that. First of all, it says, don't forget what I'm teaching you. They give 10 precepts or 10 principles that we should live by in order to have what God would want us to have in life. These 10 principles will be our 10 New Year's resolutions. And some of these are rather simple. In fact, all of them are simple. You know, they're simple to write down a resolution. I'm going to do this, or I want to do this, or I want that. They're easy to write down. But these 10 resolutions, or these 10 principles I'm going to give you, they're quite difficult to practice. But I believe in my heart that if we would adopt these principles, if we would adopt these teachings conscientiously and live them out in this coming year, it will have a great impact on our lives. And I'm not talking about giving lip service, and I'm not talking about just saying that these are my resolutions or my principles. I'm saying that you live them out, that you obey them. Every day, make it a part of your life, and I believe this will impact to help us change our lives and live a different kind of life this coming year. So let's look at verse 3. I think it's already, no, it's not up there yet. Let's look at the first verse 3 and 4. Let me see if I can get it. Yeah. So the first reading that we're going to have is verses 3 and 4, and I want you to read along with me with that. Let us read together. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. So, resolution one. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Love and faithfulness. Let these two qualities be the guiding light in our lives. In everything we do, according to the Bible, if we would love, which the Bible says over and over that God is love, that love is caring in action. Love isn't what we feel. It's what we do. So when I say here, love, I don't mean how you feel, I mean how you act. How you act toward others, how you act toward God, how you act to one another. And faithfulness is not that we will do work for God. It's not that I'm going to be out there and I'm going to be praising the Lord and I'm going to be testifying and sharing. No, no. It's not. Faithfulness as a person who follows God is not what we will do for God, but what God will be free to do through us, to work through us. In other words, we make ourselves available. We make ourselves allow God to use this body and these hands and this mouth and these arms and this heart. Faithfulness is letting God use me for his work. So here's the first resolution. Is to let love and faithfulness never leave you. Use those every day. Okay, let's go to verses 5 and 6. Let's see if I can switch that. I'm not sure if that how that works, David. Yeah, you might have to do that. All right, the next verse is verses 5 and 6. So let's have those up there. I'm going to let you switch it, David. No. Let us read together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust means to rest in God's understanding. Because we are to know that God possesses all wisdom. Surrendering to God begins when we say with our lips and our thoughts, God, I can't do this on my own. It's when we cry out to God and we show our dependence. We show that, God, we trust that you are able. We are not able to do those things that we want to happen. Trust is that we depend upon God and believe in him. When we pray, we are admitting that God's ways are higher than ours and that we believe that God is the one that can do that. That's why we pray. We don't pray to put a rubber stamp on something. We pray because that shows that we are trusting in God. When we pray, we show that we're leaving our troubles and our burdens and our dreams in God's capable hands. and not ours. Trust. That's resolution too. All right, let's go to our next scripture reading. Verses 7 and 8. Let us read together. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, so much in this world can clutter up our relationship with God. The desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of our lives. In other words, our blessings can easily become our stumbling blocks when we think of them as what we deserve or what we need to be happy. In other words, when we start seeing the things around us and we see the things that we desire and we want, that can become the very stumbling block that makes us realize that that is not what God wants us to be thinking about and to be looking at, and not to be thinking that we deserve that, that that's what we need to be happy. Instead, real life is when we remember the true source of our blessings. And what are they? The true source of our blessings is God. And when we focus on those things, to realize, to give thanks every day for what we have, because God has provided that. It's not what we've provided. It's not what we have made happen for us. It's what God has used to make that happen for us. When we pursue Him, when we find Him, when we allow Him to be the source, that is when we have abundant life. Because we can't fail. Because we can't lose when God is the source of our life. Okay. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Let's read the next verses. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth. So, this resolution starts with giving. It's easier, or it's the easiest thing for us to do, is put ourselves first. When something good happens, we want to congratulate ourselves and think, you know, we've done well. And we want to give ourselves a reward. But when something bad happens, we want to console ourselves or find someone to blame for that happening, as if we shouldn't have bad things happen to us. In other words, we often have a me-centric starting place. Life is all about me. And so if things are not happening the way I think they ought to be for me, then something's wrong with life. In other words, the world should revolve around me, that being me-centric, that's being me first. And so when it comes to money, the struggle becomes even harder. In other words, money doesn't belong to us. Money belongs to God. He's the one who provides it. He wants it, makes it possible. If we can trust God with our wealth, we're truly showing how much we depend on Him. In other words, it's not ours, it's His. And He's allowing us to use it. Handing over our money takes a huge amount of faith to give that to the work of God. But doing so means being God-centric. When we surrender that into God's hand, we realize it's not about us, it's about God, and so it's God-centered and not us. So the fourth resolution, honor the Lord with your wealth because it belongs to God. Here's the fifth one, verses 11 and 12. Let's read. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent the rebuke. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. We will go to great lengths to excuse ourselves for our behavior, for our actions, for our sins. And we can pretty much find an excuse or a reason for any bad thing we do. And we'll point the finger at other things instead of ourselves. If we're ever going to truly trust in God and flee evil, we have to know exactly where we stand. What is our part and what is God's part? We have to find the truth. And that truth comes from God. That truth comes from God's Word. That's why, again, I'm encouraging you to read the Scripture every day. How do you know where the compass is? How do you know where the truth is unless you're in God's Word? And that doesn't mean we'll always like what we see and we'll not always like how we see it. We'll not always like what is happening in our life. When we have Scripture planted firmly in our hearts, though, and in our minds, God will often use that to deal with us. The Scripture will often open up the truth of what's happening in our lives. When we have the Scripture in our hearts, even in the midst of turmoil, God will use that, and God will show us how He can use these circumstances, these situations, to shape us into the kind of person and character God wants us to be. No longer do we have to see setbacks and failures as something that is going to take us down. We can see them as moments when God, as our loving Father, will use them to work on us to raise us up to a more spiritual place than we were before. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. Okay, let's look at verses 13 through 24, and we're going to use a few select readings here. And let's read together. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Now this resolution, as we consolidate that, says search diligently for wisdom. And find it. You know, the wisdom teachings of the Bible follow from the two great themes of the greatest commandments that Jesus taught in the New Testament. And they were to love God with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our strength. And the second is to love others, to love our neighbors. Wisdom means understanding the consequences of our actions, of our words, every day. Bonda and I were talking about that on the way down, and I was telling her, I said, you know, I wished that there had been times in my life that I never treated anybody bad, that I never said anything bad to other people. But that's not true, because I have. And I did treat people badly. But in my heart, it convicts me to know that that's not the person I want to be, and that's not how I want to be. So when I look at understanding wisdom, that's where it's at. Will I follow wisdom? Will I follow God's wisdom? Will I love, and will I use it to lift others up? Wisdom means having that knowledge and understanding to recognize the right course of action and having the will and having the courage to follow it. Sometimes it's not always easy to do that right thing because of our pride or how it might look. We may need to be humble. We may need to take a place or a position to lift another person up. Searching the ways of wisdom helps bring us in harmony with God. It helps us have the heart of God, the Spirit of God, because these ways are in accordance with His will, as revealed in the Bible, and they're pleasing to Him. And that's when it becomes a blessing to us. Search diligently for wisdom, and when you find it, use it. All right, let us read verses 25 and 26. Let us read. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be with your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Have no fear. On the outside, we struggle against illness, poverty, marriage problems, job difficulties. We struggle with an unsure future, and so much more. What do you do when life is coming down on you hard? And you've got some of these burdens you're carrying. When you're worried, when you're afraid, what do you do? Scripture is telling us you come to God in faith. You come because of who God is. You come because God loves you. You come because God, you can trust God now, and you can trust Him tomorrow and in your future. And you're to have no fear that He will continue to uphold you and to love you and to guide you with His wonderful, loving plan in your life. See, God has a plan, and God is trying to work that plan out. But if you're not in tune with that, if you're not walking that path that He needs you to be walking so that He can bless you in that way, then you might be experiencing a need to trust Him, to have no fear, to let go and let God. Let us read our next verse, verses 27 and 28. Let us read. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. We are to do good to those that are in need, those who deserve the need, whenever we have the means and opportunity. And I think that may be every day. The precepts expresses the great scriptural thought that the so-called possessions of wealth is but a stewardship. What we have is not ours, it's God. And we're to be good stewards of what God has given us, what He's blessed us with. So the true owners of what we call our own are those to whom with it may do good to them. In other words, it's not really ours, it's theirs. They deserve it. It's been given to us as stewards that we might give it to them. And not to give, not to share, is a breach of trust in God. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. Let us read our next verses, verses 29 and 30. Let us read. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Oh, how often we gossip about people. How often we harm people by our words. How, in some ways, we're plotting harm against them in such action. Our business is to observe the precepts of Christ, to copy His example, to love the way He loved, to forgive the way He forgave, to be merciful the way He was merciful, to be gracious the way He was gracious, to do justice, to love mercy. Do not contrive and form schemes in one's mind or one's thought to do anyone injury, to injure his name, to injure his character, to injure his person, his property, or his family. A good man should devise all the good he can to his fellow human beings, to do good to them, for their good. and not to do evil to any, and especially to his neighbor. Do not plot harm against your neighbor. And let us read the last verses that we have, verses 31 and 32. Let us read. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests the perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. The man that gets wealth and riches by acts of injustice, by oppressing the poor, by violence, Scripture says, do not envy that person. Do not envy their prosperity and the substance he is possessed of. Do not wish to be in his place. Do not wish to be in his circumstances. Do not wish to enjoy his affluence and his ease. Do not look upon his happiness with an envious eye and a fretting heart. Because the Scripture says, he is far from being a happy person. He is far from being where God wants that person to be. And the Scripture says, therein will not be good. Listen again to the verses 1 and 2 of the third chapter of Proverbs. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life for many years and bring you prosperity. Well, brothers and sisters, if nothing else this day or tomorrow, go back to the third chapter of Proverbs. Read verses 1 through 32. Let that be the place to make some resolutions for next year. And I believe that if you follow those, if you pay close attention to those, if you adhere to those principles in 2018, and you see what God will do in your life, that you will be blessed. I sincerely think if each one of us would adopt these principles and conscientiously live them out in this coming year, that it will not only impact our lives, but it has the possibility to have change in our lives in the way that God would have us change. Would you pray with me? Loving God, I thank you so much for your gift of life this day. God, I thank you as we're bringing a close to the year 2017, that you want to say to us, are we where we want to be at the end of this year? Are we closer to you, Father? Have we let Jesus Christ have more control in our life? Are we living more the principles and the teachings of Jesus? Oh God, I just pray that for this coming year, that by the end of next year, we will be closer to you, that we will have taken into our hearts and lives more of what you would have us to be. So God, I'm just praying now. I'm asking now, Father, that we might surrender ourselves anew to you on this New Year's Eve, and just give to you, Father, our hearts and our lives again. And we thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you for the power that is in your word to change us and to make us new. We thank you, Father, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we sing together, if you're able to stand, the same love. And may in that love we commit ourselves anew for the coming year to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please stand as we sing together.
You choose the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us life. The same love that set the captives free, the same love that opened eyes to see, is calling us all by name. You just one aside and speak the words, you are mine. You call the cynic and the proud, come to me now. The same love that set the captives free, the same love that opened eyes to see, is calling us all by name.
I just pray that in this new year, 2018, that you will know that God is with you and that you will truly have your hand in His. Let Him be the guide. And may you go forth in this new year trusting in Him, loving Him, believing in Him, and He will guide you and you will go in peace. Amen.